Perhaps that is part of our discussion with our next and very welcome guest, Kay Elmer. Kay Elmers is from Ngāti Tamatera, Rākauiki Te Tonga, and Kay's the Executive Director of Ngāti Hauwhakaari, which is an organisation that is an umbrella group looking at the interests of Māori in film and television, the creative sector of which we are so proud. Thank you for joining us on the programme once again. Te whanaunga, tēnā koe, tuhine, and ngā mihi, Kay.
Oh, tēnā koe, Dale. Tēnā koutou katoa, whakarongo mai nā. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And I'd like to tautoko what you were just talking about before too. And we like to support our rangatahi a lot too in our sector.
Well, we can do it, and we do it proudly too. Ka hau te rangatahi. And, you know, we need to create opportunities. The creative sector is one where our people excel. And whilst we have some wonderful examples of success within, there's a lot more that they can bring to the table if we create the environments for them to do so. And that's part of what Ngāti Hauwhakaari are contributing constantly. How proud are you of our contribution to this country's creative sector, Kay?
Oh, look, we're obviously a huge part of it, and we bring stories that can be told nowhere else in the world. So it's incredibly important. But also just what's great is more than that. You know, we really do sit at the intersection of language revitalization, economic development, fights against disinformation in these times. You know, we promote democratic participation and Indigenous rights. So the screen sector has an incredibly important role to do in uplifting our hapori in a whole lot of ways. And so it is really important that we continue to advocate for our right to resources and policy settings and spaces that allow our creatives to thrive.
The country benefits from the efforts of our Māori in film and television, the reputation we've garnered internationally too. Much of it comes off the back of these interesting stories that we are able to tell in our own unique way. But if you start lining up the funding models and where Māori sit, I'd suggest there's an imbalance there when you look at population bases, et cetera, and how that funding is distributed. There's still a long way to go, Kay?
Oh, there's a huge, huge lot of work to do there, and the current environment and our current government is not conducive to the creative sector generally, and of course more specifically for Māori with the assault that we've seen on Māori-specific funding in all sectors. The creative sector faces that as well. And I mean, for example, in real terms, Te Māngai Pāho hasn't had a baseline raise in, I think, I'm going to get it wrong, but many, many years, which means in real terms, the amount of investment in Te Reo Māori programming has gone down significantly over the last 15, 20 years. So, yeah, but the reality is we are a sector that is mainly reliant on public funding. That's just the reality of where we sit here in the global screen environment. So, you know, we continue to advocate for how important that is from a society building point of view, but also the creative economy has a lot to offer and is sustainable, green, you know, ownership of IP that can travel the world many, many times. So I also sit on a board called We Create that advocates with government about actually valuing the creative economy generally better. But my role there, of course, is also to make sure that we increase the Māori share, because, yes, I do believe that public funding is inequitably invested in content and creation for older pāhā audiences. And we need to create better equity in how we're serving audiences and also our creatives. So we're constantly knocking at their door. We've got a political panel at Big Screen Symposium next week, and my task today is writing the briefing papers for the political representatives from the various parties that will be there. That's part of our work. We also work on actually just the more fun side of uplifting our sector, creating training and opportunities for our practitioners, and we also just celebrate the achievements that we do have. But yes, the advocacy is an important part of what we do.
Tēnā koe. I spoke with Hinawihi Kuleitiana as well today about intellectual property and how it's easily being manipulated, in fact, nicked, to be honest, Kay, to fuel AI engines that go ahead and create their own music. And I'll touch on that with you before we wrap up. I just want to stay on that positive line that you've just mentioned too. Yeah. There are challenges in the sector ongoing, but of course I'm familiar with the Te Reo Māori Sports Commentators program, and with more of our people able to film and distribute content, whether it's through netball or wakahama or hockey or ke orahi, that they too need accompanying Te Reo commentary. And you put the tonoi out, and it seems that there's been a wonderful response here. And might you tell us about the Takaro Pāpāho program?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about this program. So this actually came about, and I want to acknowledge Rangiata Sky. They acknowledged that they would actually run more fixtures on Sky platforms in Te Reo Māori if they could increase the Māori language commentators pool. So we worked alongside Kirsten Tawau Edmonds there, who champions Te Reo Māori at Sky. They funded some research so that we had some clear research to underpin the program. And with some funding support from Te Mātāwai, we've been able to launch this program. And it's just been so cool to see. You know, we hear so much about, you know, that the state of Te Reo Māori is still in a fragile state. But, you know, when we put that tono out, we had more than 30 really, really competent, fluent real speakers applying to come into that training program. We wanted to focus on wahine, and so we're delighted that of the 12 that were finally selected, 5 are wahine. And they've just started, yeah, last month, a program with Matua He Mana Waka, the OG of Te Reo Māori Sports Commentary as the kaumātua for the program. And we've got lots of current commentators like Tumamau Harawera, Tarahi Maipi, Te Aorere, are really generously contributing their knowledge as well as to a kind of to train these new kaikōrero that are coming through. So, you know, being in the room with the 12 of them on our first wānanga was at Whakaata Māori, and you know, just sitting around with these 12 incredibly, you know, really talented, fluent speakers, passionate about sport, and they're going to create this whole new pool of people able to bring sport into homes, because it's been well identified that it's a really accessible and great way to contribute to language revitalisation, to get Te Reo Māori into the homes via things that we're also passionate about. Yeah. So this first one, we are focusing on rugby and rugby league, because the different codes obviously do have, you know, quite specific reo and quite specific technicalities to also teach. So we hope to, you know, this is a pilot program. We hope in the future we'll be able to look at other codes as well. A lot of these people will still be able to do other codes, but that's kind of the focus this time. So, yeah, the next wānanga is Friday this week at Rangiata Sky, where the participants will all get to actually really get hands-on, work with auto cues, get into voiceover booths, really start learning the practical skills. And all within this, there's also lots of other opportunities. They'll go on Saturday night to Whakaata Māori and be able to be behind the scenes for the Te Reo Māori commentary delivery for the Māori All Blacks game. They'll get to go to a Warriors OB game. And so, yeah, we're creating something completely new here. There's never really been pathways of how do you teach someone to be a commentator. Even in English, they just tend to come through from doing sideline commentary and things like that. So Navak Rogers is the project manager. Stacey Morrison is the mātanga reo guiding the program. So it's been really exciting to just also create quite a new pathway to get more reo into homes with sport. Yeah, so this is the exciting stuff we get to do.
Yeah, tēnā koe. And of course, often the commentary is an accompaniment to the pickies, and a lot of people are comfortable to listen to Te Reo Māori commentary. They've got the pictures, they can get the gist of it. And I've just having seen a bit of a list of the attendees, you know, the Reo Rangatira. So wishing them all well. Aho Shorts Productions 26, short films, where's that at?
Well, that's just kicked off. So we've selected, so we have funding via NZFC, Māngai Pāho and NZONair that contribute funding for the production of 5 short films. This year, at least 3 have got very high reo Māori components. One, I think, is fluent 100%. So they just had their first wānanga a couple of weekends ago. And again, these are the things that make all the advocacy worth it, because you're in a room with passionate filmmakers, ranging from really experienced practitioners like Mike Jonathan, who directed Ka Whawhai Tonu, is attached to one of the films. Te Kohe Tūhaka, who's moving from acting. People will know Te Kohe probably quite well as an actor. He's moving into producing and directing, right through to first-time filmmakers. So, you know, that vibe in the room too of these two Akana and Taina, that each have stuff to learn off one another. The program's the program is run by Angela Cudd of Caravan Car Park Films, who's a very experienced filmmaker. So she brings in all sorts of expertise. You know, they get really great actors that come in and do table reads of their plays, and everyone is just, it's just such a supportive environment that they're all helping each other develop their plays, develop their scripts and get, as they're in pre-production, and will no doubt all end up helping each other on their productions as well. So, yeah, so they are all now deep into pre-production, and we are hoping that all of those films will be delivered by the end of this year and then wing their way around the world to festivals, which, you know, really shows our stories and our reel on a global stage, and gives those filmmakers the opportunity to, as you mentioned before, go out and find where they can find the funding for bigger projects. So, yeah, there's some information about all of the various projects up on our socials, but really exciting bunch of very diverse films that they'll be making. So that's another program, and we actually also have a partnership program to that, which is a whole shorts development, which is for projects that are earlier in their development phase, and we'll be putting a tono out for people to apply to that within the next month or so. So that's really, if you're a bit earlier in the journey of developing your idea, we also have support wrapped around that. So this is really developing the next gen, not by age. You can be any age and start your filmmaking journey. But there's a lot of talent out there. So this is the stuff that really makes my heart sing when I get to go and sit in those rooms with them. And makes me realise when I've got to sit for a day and write a briefing paper for a politician, it's worth it.
Good luck with that, Mahi, later in the day. Just want to acknowledge Mike too, because I was taken by his principled approach to the IP involved in his filmmaking. Ka Whawhai, of course, he gifted the rights to the people of the land from the Hokkaido. Yep. And in his latest short story as well, the company that he set up to oversee that project, sliced in those who it was about. This is the Cody Wales Rats production.
Oh, yes, it's premiering tonight.
Yeah. And he, you know, the vehicle that he created to make the piece involves those who feature in the piece too. So I just thought it was an innovative and principled structure that Mike has thrown into the mix. Now, just to wrap us up, please, Kay, and briefly, we've been talking about the tāhae, the capabilities of AI to strip IP. We've been talking about it in music, where, as you know, there are sites where you can sort of dial up and ask for a song to be created in the mood of. And, of course, the search engine needs to be able to access examples of that mood, if you will. And I've been amazed at how quickly they can spit up songs, reversion them, etc. Is a similar situation happening with film and television reels? What threats does AI pose in the space that you're advocating in, Kay?
Yeah, it's a really thorny one, because it is like the tech is a great tool and also our greatest threat as well. I think obviously for Māori practitioners, we have all the same issues as before, but there's these added layers of cultural appropriation and the danger of our stories and our images getting in the hands of people who don't have the cultural knowledge to know how to frame those. You know, it's very difficult, because in some senses it feels like the horse has bolted and that the big tech has already scraped, you know, has already scraped all of that information. You know, you've got big hitters like Paul McCartney fighting this fight at the music thing. So I wish I had the answers, Dale, I really do. I guess we just have to hope that at the heart of it, stories are what wins on the day, and only humans can really tell really good stories. In terms of the actual imagery, we also, I guess, need audiences. We need audiences to have good media literacy and to be choosing to watch stuff that isn't AI generated. You know, and it is thorny because, on the other hand, our aspects of AI are a good tool that can be used if they are just used as a tool. So I wish I was smart enough to know how to take on big tech around that. But, I mean, to be fair, it's only one of the threats, the existential threats that big tech are posing the industry at the moment, because we also have the issues, of course, with streamers and social media platforms stripping out all the revenue sources, which means that that revenue is no longer available to content creators to actually make the content. So in a sense, we also have an environment where big tech is eating its own young with, you know, using content generated by humans, creating money from that that's all going to big tech and not coming back to the creators, so not feeding back into the ecosystem to create new stories and content. So I think there's a multitude of layers, and this is where governments, and this is a very hard thing for New Zealand governments to do on our own as well, it needs to be approached globally to really get a handle on how are we going to legislate and create regulation that's going to rein in the tyranny that big tech are raining down on us all at the moment.
Yeah, no, Queen, I think you've got some interesting turf to write about this afternoon. Big tech, big tech's eating its own young. It's a nice line. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Whanaunga.
Oh,
thank you,
Dale. Thanks for having us and shining a light on our mahi. All right.
Mātiwa. Great to catch up with the sis again. Kay Elmers. And Kay's with Ngā Aho Whakaari.